Yay. All right. Gif, you're ready to roll. Roxy. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for December 30th, 2025. The first order of business, would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the roll call show that Chris has been excused. All other board members are present. Tiffany from Commissioner Knapp's office tonight, and Roxy from current planning. Hopefully she can keep us out of troubles. There. I've got some notes on tonight's meeting. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion related to an item at any time. No action may be taken in any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Public responses to the applicant's presentation will be limited to 3 minutes. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners, Zoning Commission, BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. And if you want to continue a conversation with the applicant, please take it outside once the item is finished with the board. That brings us up to the public comment period. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium and clearly state your name, address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or by the board by majority vote. So, are there any overall general comments on tonight's agenda? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment period. Next item is approval of the minutes for 12 December 2025 for possible action, or excuse me, approve the minutes for December 12th. 2025. Tiffany, do you have any comments?
No, except it was December 10th, 2025.
Yes. I'll correct that in my notes. In there. Board members, do you have anything?
No.
Carmen?
No.
I'll make a motion to approve the Enterprise Town Advisory Board minutes for December 10th, 2025, as published. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is the approval of the agenda for December 30, 2025, to hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action. No. Does any applicant have anything they wish to withdraw at this time that we're not aware of? Okay. We have two sets of related items tonight. The first group is items 3 and 4. The second group is item 5, 6, and 7. There. So, board members, do you have any other additions, deletions? Tiffany?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for December 30, 2025, as amended. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is informational items. I have none. Tiffany, do you have anything?
I do not.
Board members? That brings us into the plan and zoning, and item number one will be first. Item number one is VS250816, vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Fairfield Avenue and Placid Street and Windmill Lane and Mesa Verde Lane, and a portion of the right-of-way being Windmill Lane located between Placid Street and Fairfield Avenue, and a portion of the right-of-way being Placid Street, located between Windmill Lane and Mesa Verde Lane, and a portion of the right-of-way being Fairfield Avenue, located between Windmill Lane and Mesa Verde Lane, within Enterprise for possible action. Good evening.
Jesse Patchett.
Jesse, can you push the button there, please?
Yeah, should be green on the bottom.
There you go.
Jesse Patchett, Patchett Design Group, 2685 South Rainbow, on behalf of the applicant. This application is associated with a site development that was heard and previously approved by this board and the Planning Commission. This application is to vacate right-of-way along Windmill, Placid, and Fairfield Streets in order to accommodate detached sidewalks that was required as part of the previous approval.
I'll open item number one up for public comments. Any public comments on item number one?
Can you explain this whole fire thing that's going on?
Yep. Wait, if you're going to talk, please come up. State your name and address for the record, please.
Michelle Serbin, S-E-R-B-I-N, 8025, Fairfield Avenue.
Okay.
Las Vegas,
and what's your question now?
My question is can this all be explained as to what the whole easement process and what is going on?
Easements were created by the federal government a long time ago,
yep.
So we could put roads, et cetera, in.
Yep.
You can't build on them unless they're vacated or removed.
Okay.
This particular gentleman, what they're doing is they're also taking 5 feet of right-of-way so they can build attached sidewalks. So you'll have 5 feet of landscape, a sidewalk, and 5 feet of landscape.
Okay.
And that's the purpose of this particular application.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to figure out what's actually going to be put there in that whole entire... See,
yeah,
that's not on the agenda tonight, so this board can't discuss it. It was a previously approved project, which
okay.
we can provide you information on later.
Okay. Yeah, or... gentleman,
we just got this in the mail, so.
The gentleman here, when we're finished with this particular item, may be able to help you also.
That's, okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
My name is Max Best, 7910 Placid Street. So my question for you is, so is there any driveways change? Are we still just going in from Windmill?
The driveways that were previously
approved. Okay, if you we got to have your response on the record, so let him get his questions out, and then we'll get the questions
answered.
Yeah,
that's it. I just want to see if the because that was the main thing is we didn't want any of the big semis coming in unloaded. They just said that wasn't going to happen, and so now we want to make sure that was my understanding. Is that's kind of a lot of times when they remove easements is so they can put in a driveway for the big trucks, and we want to make sure that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
You'll answer.
Okay. Okay. Very good. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We are not changing the driveways that were previously approved as part of the fire application.
Yeah. I think there showed just some pedestrian access on the driveway was changing, but the location, et cetera, is not.
Correct.
Okay.
Do you want to maybe just put the picture up there again and point out for especially the folks that weren't here previously where the driveways were, where the sidewalks will be the part of this application?
Yeah. So the red areas on Windmill are the locations of the two previously approved driveways. Those driveways are not changing. There are no driveways on Placid, no driveways on Fairfield. We will have detached sidewalks. So as the gentleman said, we'll have a sidewalk that's located 5 feet behind the curb, located all around the perimeter of the project.
Okay, any other comments, public comments on item number one?
Ardra Fitzgerald, F-I-T-Z-G-E-R-A-L-D, 8270 Windsor Crest Court. I guess I'm not understanding. Is this going to be taken out of where Fairfield is, part of the street currently?
Yes. They're getting 5 feet of the roadway. And
so Fairfield will
it,
be...
It won't be any smaller. Pavement wise.
Okay. All right. That'd be a problem.
Any additional public comments on item number one? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments. Board members? I think it's pretty standard.
It is.
Anything? I'll make a motion on item number one, VS250816, for approval per staff conditions. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next is item number two, is DR250823, design roof or proposed vehicle wash in conjunction with an existing commercial center on 1.08 acres in a CEG general commercial zone within the airport environment zone A60 overlay. Generally located north of Wigwam Avenue and east of Arville Street within Enterprise for possible action. Good evening, sir.
Start on. My name is Ty Tran, last name is spelled T-R-A-M. I am with Westwood Professional Services at 5725 West Medora Avenue, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89118. We are representing Circle K and Clean Freak Car Wash for this project. The project itself is located at the northeast corner of Arville and Wigwam Avenue. It's built on an existing site that was previously approved, zoned, and developed for the car wash itself. The project was approved per a previous NOFA and everything's already constructed. We are conforming to the existing engineering drainage and grading and utility connections. So basically, we're just developing what was already previously set for the project. We are basically using the same driveways coming into the site, both off Arville and Wigwam. And then from there, we are connecting to the same allotted utilities that are already there. As far as the site goes, it conforms to everything that was previously set for. We are asking for no waivers. We are not doing any off-site development at all, other than all the on-sites to construct the car wash itself.
Okay, anything else?
No.
Okay. I'll open item number two up for public comment. Any public comments on item number two? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments. Board members? I thought it was interesting that the only reason it's here is because the Circle K had a design review on this.
Yes.
And under the new code, I don't think it'd been here.
That's correct. So.
Personally, I think it's a good location for a car wash.
Yeah, so we also basically meeting and exceeding all the landscaping and
yes.
sustainability mm-hmm. requirements.
Yeah. That's why there's no waivers.
That is correct.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, in general, I'm supportive of it. I think you might want to look at your circulation on site a little bit more. Because with the dead end, it feels a little awkward with the parking and the vacuum area, but the car wash itself, I don't have any objection to.
Anything? I'll make a motion. Item number 2, DR250823, for approval per staff conditions. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Next are items 3 and 4. Item number 3 is WC25400127, SDR250269. Waiver of conditions for design review. Required trees to be planted south of the freestanding sign to screen the lighting from residential development to the south, and in conjunction with the previously approved cannabis retail store on 0.9 acres in a CG commercial general zone, located on the north side of Wigwam Road and the east side of Haven Street, with an enterprise for possible action. Item number 4 is SDR250829, Sign design review to modify residential adjacency standards for a sign in conjunction with a previously approved cannabis retail store on 0.9 acres in a CG general commercial zone, generally located south side of Warm Springs Road and east of Haven Street, with enterprise for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, Council Board members. My name is Tony Sless, address 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant. You can see our site is highlighted here in yellow. It is now an existing cannabis retail store that recently opened. As you can see, it's off Warm Springs. We have Haven, near Warm Springs and Haven. As part of this application, we came in earlier this year and the board in May approved a lot of signage for the property, including, you can see right here, all the various signs, and also what is the subject of tonight, which is sign A, which is our pylon sign. And this is the design of the sign and the sign that is out there today, if you've driven out there. At the hearing, there was a condition imposed that in front of the pylon signs, in this area right here, that additional trees be planted to help shield the chasing lights. The chasing lights face east and west along Warm Springs there, and not north-south, and in particular south towards the residential. We have planted 2 trees in the area that was described as part of the condition. But at this point in time, we still have not been able to get a permit for the chasing portion of the lights. So we're coming in seeking clarification that we have indeed satisfied that condition. And if not, we are certainly willing to add an additional tree. Staff report mentions mature trees, but in the condition just says trees to be planted in that area, which we have done. The second part of this application, or I guess separate application, is number 4, is with respect to the sign hours. So illumination signs are not allowed between 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. We are requesting to have that allowance and basically have 24/7. This area is all zoned commercial. It is a commercial corridor through here, Warm Springs Road. Directly across the street is the airport, car rental. You have the Kennels, or the Las Vegas South Outlet malls. We are, again, about 232 feet. The sign is from the east property line, which is where the residential is. You can see some of the photos here. This is standing at the east property line here, or excuse me, the south property line here, looking north, this is what the sign is right here, as you can see. It's so it's, again, like I mentioned, the sign is facing east to west, which is where the commercial corridor is, the commercial traffic, etc. Just this portion is the one that faces south. So with the trees that will mature and grow, and the fact that it is facing predominantly east-west, we do think that the it is okay for illumination 24/7. With that, happy to answer any questions you have.
I'll open items 3 and 4 up for public comment at this time. Public comment? Yes, sir. Please step up.
So, yeah, my name is Mark Connolly, and my address is 79.
Yeah, could you speak up close to the mic, please?
Well, if it was a little taller on this.
Oh, you can pick it up if you want.
Anyway, 7960 Gillespie Street, Las Vegas, Nevada. So, from my house, I walk down Mesa Verde. I go around and I've watched that be built, that project. And it's already making a carnival out of smoking weed. You know, welcome to Las Vegas, here. And talking about a commercial corridor, I walk around that. So people start driving at 16. Kids like mine, one's 17, one's 19. So they go to any of these places around here, they drive by there. So it's already, you know, beyond my realm that it's come as far as it has. But now to ask for a waiver to illuminate the thing all night long, like the Welcome to Las Vegas sign is designed after, that people line up and, you know, and take pictures in front of. I mean, is that the goal? People take pictures in front of them?
Okay, but please address any comments to the board.
Well, I'm just saying it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd to, I mean, you should be happy that the sign, and the picture you got here is from the side. You can't even see the sign. I mean, all around there is residential. The driving up in Alamo Springs is probably 95% residential. So to say it's a business corridor or something, that's ludicrous, man.
Okay, any additional comments? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Board members? And having drove by that tonight because I wanted to see it, here's the sign is really oriented north-south. You can see it from Warm Springs.
It's oriented east. No, it's oriented
north-south.
Yeah.
Because Warm Springs goes east-west.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't see it.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. See it either westbound or eastbound.
But the scintillating lights.
Yeah.
The scintillating lights around it would be
around
the perimeter would shine.
Yeah, I don't think we were very much in favor of these lights last time. And one of the reasons I wanted to drive it tonight, I wanted to see how visible that sign is and from what distance, and from the mall I can see it. So I assume that any lights that are around it can be seen by the neighbors more than 200 feet away. So I think that's a major distraction. So also, how tall are the trees that you're planting?
They are 36-inch box trees. I'm not sure what the measurement is.
I bet they're not 25 feet high, though.
No, they are definitely
because
not
that's the top of the sign. And that's where those lights are dancing.
So I also drove the site tonight. I didn't have a chance to develop these, but here is just the picture. I'll even zoom in, but this is exactly my point, is that it is facing east-west traffic, not south where the residential is. So this is taken from the south property line.
But those lights are around that border of that sign.
Right.
They do face north-south. And they're going to be visible, quite visible, from anything in the south, unless you've got trees in there that are over 25 feet high.
Well, I guess I disagree that the chasing lights are going to be predominantly facing north-south, they're going to be facing east-west like the rest
yeah,
of the
Yeah, but they're going to be visible to the folks who live to the south. That's the point.
So let me ask this a little bit differently.
Yeah.
The light, it's an old-fashioned scintillating light, I'm assuming. So it's essentially a light bulb, visible 360 degrees around the light bulb, right? They're not proposing to put any shading on the ends of it or anything so that it's only visible from east-west?
Well, it's going to be a chasing light, going around the perimeter of the sign on the, you can see right here the elevation.
Right here.
They can't see that, Tom.
Oh, oops, sorry. You can see right here.
Hmm?
So that is the, and again, this is either
so
looking
what I'm getting
east
at is
or
there,
or
are, there are signs where they put paint on the end of it so that it does still shine out the sides, but not off the end. That's not being proposed here, right?
Correct. This is the correct. This is the design right here. That's what's built, just not illuminated right now.
So if I was putting in a light bulb, I would expect that the socket is on the end of the sign, and if you're not shading the end of that light bulb, it's shining the light straight out as well as all the way around. But so to Dave's point, without doing anything special or getting a special light bulb that shades the short surface of it, which is not an uncommon thing with signs, it's still going to, it's the socket is pointed to the north and south on the sign that's intended to capture the view from east-west. And if that was the type of light that was being proposed, I think I'd land a little bit differently here, but I think signs like this make sense in the resort corridors. Once you get outside of the resort corridors, to me, they make less sense, especially outside of the county daylight business hours. So.
Yeah, I think I agree with what was being said. Particularly, there are complaints received from the resident, the staff, at the county, that this light is almost a nuisance in the area. Not, I did not drive today, Dave, but I drove earlier and saw this sign. It's a very big sign. And as Mr. Kaiser said, there's a shield behind it. Then the neighbor to the south may not be able to see this thing, but this is going to be seen by them. So I cannot support this application.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask this board, please, when you make your motions, just because part of these applications coming forward was clarification of what the final action was of the Board of County Commissioners. So if you could please, when you state your motions, make it clear when we're talking about signage, is it the welcome part, or is it the chase lighting, or is it both? Because that got confusing at the Board of County Commissioners, which is part of why this is back here. And then so that's item number four. Are we talking about every portion of the sign, or are we talking about some portions of the sign can be on later or shouldn't be on later? And then on number three, the question about the trees, clarification of, so there are two trees planted there. They are not 25 feet high, so they do not screen. So waiving that and or any recommendations about what would be appropriate screening with landscaping. Thank you.
Yeah, my thoughts on it were primarily on the chasing lights. You know, the rest of the sign is on there, and yes, it does provide advertising. It is one of the tallest things in the area in there. And, you know, my comment on trees is I've seen a lot of landscaping trees put in a 36-inch box, and 10 years later, they're not shielding anything because they don't get enough water. You know, it's...
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a note for future motions that if we're suggesting that there should be trees to screen a sign, that we'll have to stipulate that the trees should be at least as tall as the proposed sign from the developer.
good idea. In there, and you know, that's one of the things that kind of caught my attention. And even your diagram doesn't show the trees adequately covering, you know, so
all trees.
Yeah, and
that's not what's planted.
with Barry's comments, the way I look at this particular corridor is it was developed initially as a residential corridor with one strip of commercial along the arterial. We're now starting to fill in that strip, which is not the Las Vegas Strip. You know, commercial, yes, but we don't need to have signage which is going to bug the residents, which are right behind this stuff. So, you know, I'm actually opposed to both applications in here. And I, you know, would say on the waiver of conditions, it's because the trees now and for quite a long while will not be an adequate buffer in there just because of the height of the sign and that. So I think that the sign should comply with the 10 to 6 a.m. daylight hour requirement. Again, we're not the strip.
All portions of the sign, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. This seems like, if I remember, is the issue of this lighting the last time this was here, and both of these are not going to help with that screening or lighting, so I would be on board with either of these.
Okay. You got anything?
Nope.
Okay. Barry, anything?
Yep.
Okay. Now, let's see if we can fashion a couple of things that'll keep Tiffany happy. In there. Item number 3, WC25400127, SDR250269, for denial. Yeah. Because the trees now or for the foreseeable future cannot adequately screen the chasing lights. Does that work, Tiff?
That's good, thank you.
Okay, board members, any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'll get the second one in a second.
Okay.
When I finish. I gotta make some notes here.
Well.
Okay. Item number 4, SDR250829 for denial. For the entire sign. Again, Tiff, does that?
That's clear, thank
you. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you guys. I'll see you guys next year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Brings us up to the last three items, 5, 6, and 7. Item number 5 is ZC250812, zone change reclassified 1.25 acres from an RS20 residential single family zone to IP industrial park zone, located east of Arville Street and north of Richmar Avenue with Enterprise. Description on file for possible action.
Good evening, Melissa Yuri.
Oh, let me read the other two into the record first, please. Item number six is VS250813. Vacate and abandon easements of interest Clark County located between Serene Avenue and Ridgemar Avenue, between Arville Street and Henson Street, located between Arville Street and Henson Street with an enterprise. Description to file for possible action. Item number seven is UC250814. Use permits the following: one, outdoor storage and display; two, caretaker unit; waiver development standards to increase retaining wall height; design review for the following: one, proposed outdoor storage and display; and two, a proposed office with caretaker unit and 1.25 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport environment zone AE60 overlay, generally located on the east side of Arville on the north side of Richmar Avenue with an enterprise for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening. We'll start again. Melissa Yuri, EURE, 1055 Whitney Ranch Drive, Suite 210, here on behalf of the applicant. So just to kind of orient the site, you can see Arville. This right here is the National Guard base. So we do have the Nevada National Guard. We have Richmar here. It's right here on the corner, right across from their solar fields for the base. We are requesting the zone change. Right now it's currently the RS20, but the land use is for the business employment, which does anticipate light industrial, service commercial, and small commercial, like what is being proposed with the accompanying applications. We're requesting the industrial park zoning, which would line up with other zoning in the area around the base. This is supported by the master plan. It does look to maintain these designated employment areas and to help with making sure there's compatible development, particularly with the base being there. It also encourages compact development, which you'll see in the following plans. This certainly is. There's existing infrastructure with the roadways, sewer that's there in the area. For the vacation, there is existing patent easements on the site for roadways. The roadway for Arville and Richmar, those will be dedicated. However, we are asking to vacate the patent easements through the rest of the site where there will not be roadways, so that way we can go ahead and develop those areas. So as you can see here, the building is going to be here towards the corner of the site. It's going to have two stories. The first floor is all going to be the office area. It's going to have a storage kind of warehouse area here for them to maintain their supplies. This is going to be a business that does both landscaping and maid services. So they'll keep the supplies in here. The second floor is just going to be the caretaker's unit. It is for an employee to stay there and be able to be on site to help maintain the site, but also because they do keep fleet vehicles on the property. They are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So in the evenings and the weekends, they'll have somebody there just to make sure that nothing's happening to the vehicles on site. So they do have right here all of their parking. It is all covered parking. I know this looks a little odd right here. It's a landscape island. There's no fountain feature that's in the center of it. And we are proposing a 10-foot wall around. The wall will vary slightly based on the retaining wall heights below it. One reason it looks a little odd and why we have such a large courtyard area is because per public work standards, we're required to be a certain distance from the intersection here, and so it forced us to push the driveway as far back as it is. This also gives us a little extra room though for them to move the utility trailers and maneuver vehicles on the site as they come through. And as you can see back here, they have their trash enclosure. So they are going to be keeping the fleet vehicles back here. Some of them, and those will stay here. And then they have the employee parking up here. Then they do have the caretaker space as close as possible to the building. We are providing the required amount of landscaping. So there's going to be a mix of agave. There's going to be a few saguaro cacti. They're also putting in some acacias in there. His theme, his business is called Witches and Cowboys, and so the theme of the development is going to be a Spanish hacienda style. And so he's trying to keep the landscape in context with the theme of the business. So again, there you can see the floor plan. The second floor is just the caretaker's unit. So here you can see the elevation of the building is going to be a maximum of 30 feet in height. The only roll-up door is internal to the site, so that's on the north side of the building facing into the courtyard. This is what you would see along Arville, or I'm sorry, Bridgemark. And then here you can see they have the gate. The gate will remain open during business hours. And these arches here, they're just insets. It's just facade treatment. There's no actual doorways in or out from there. And so you can see right here, this is the covered patio. So they're using kind of that Spanish style, the white, the Spanish tile looking tile with the reddish clay. The shutters will have that kind of red wood tone to them. And then around the rest of the property, they will have a decorative CMU block wall. That's just so you can see, this is what his trailers, his fleet vehicles for the landscaping look like. So we do have the one waiver requesting that the retaining wall height be allowed to be increased from 3 feet up to a maximum of 4 feet. You can see it right here. There's kind of this pinkish red highlighted line. That is where that section of retaining wall would go up to a maximum of 4 feet. And part of that is really because of the grading on the site. It slopes in from the right of way. And so by allowing it to come up on that side, it'll allow for appropriate drainage so it drains away from the building to where it should go, where the curb and gutter will be along the street. So the reason for that, the rest of the site, we will have retaining walls under the 3 feet. And again, the actual screen wall will vary so that around the perimeter, it'll never be more than that 10 feet of screen wall. We do have the two special use permits. One is for the caretaker's unit. And again, I think we kind of gone over that is for an employee to maintain the site. The others for the outdoor storage. The outdoor storage will allow for the fleet vehicles to be maintained on site. Staff is recommending denial on it based on the guard base because we didn't have some conversations with them in advance. However, we weren't notified until December 8th by staff that they even wanted us to have a conversation with anyone. So we scrambled, we reached out to the Division of Lands. So the Division of Lands, I got back to me really just before Christmas. They didn't have an issue. They did refer that we reach out to their base directly at that point, and we have done that, and they are currently reviewing everything. However, at this point, they haven't said, they received all the plans, the justification letters, the same of everything that was given to the county. At this point, we haven't been told that there's any concerns. So I would respectfully ask that you see fit to go ahead and approve the outdoor storage. Again, it allows for the fleet vehicles. Staff has said that if you do approve it, they are asking that you then condition it that they cannot have the outdoor storage in the courtyard. I would respectfully ask that if you see fit to approve it, that you not have that condition. It would allow him for future potential growth, that if the vehicles maybe needed to be kept someplace that wasn't currently within the covered parking. Also, it is a landscape business. Typically, he's told me that, you know, you take the materials directly to the site, but if he had some leftover papers or something for the matter of a couple of days before they returned it, use it on a different job, it could then be stored in that outdoor area. If that condition's placed, they wouldn't have that option. And just keeping in mind that if additional future vehicles would be kept outside, potentially if there's additional parking needed, they would have to come back through with another application for that to be reviewed. And with that, happy to answer any questions.
I'll open items 5, 6, and 7 up for public comment at this time. Any public comment in 5, 6, and 7? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Board members?
So what display?
There really is no display inside of it. It's just that the use itself is by code is outside outdoor storage and display. It's really just the outdoor storage for the fleet vehicles. He does keep a couple of these trailers that, the utility trailers that aren't necessarily hitched to the truck as backup trailers, but otherwise they're parked attached to the vehicles.
So just for clarification, if it's a vehicle parked there, I don't believe that's storage. Am I incorrect?
If the vehicle's parked there, it's not storage?
I'm asking, but she's indicated that they would have a combination, but generally it would be trucks that had trailers attached to them parked on the lot. That doesn't sound like storage to me.
Yeah, based on the definition, it's outside storage.
It's still outside storage, even if it's a vehicle parked?
Trailers.
Okay. So, let me make sure I'm understanding your request related to the where you've asked for that condition not to be included. It's, you're asking for outdoor storage to be included, but you have no intention of any display?
Correct.
Could you please put your plan so we can see that as well? Thank you. When Mr. Kaiser is talking.
If you want me to zoom in, I'll park it over nowhere.
I mean, overall, I think that the industrial park use makes sense with the master plan, and this is one of the last areas that got to have some intentional master planning behind it. I think it feels like it's a compatible use to me with the adjacent uses in the area, and those things all feel like positive things. I think the tricky part is in the conversation around your storage and what that needs to be to be able to meet the need without becoming a complete waiver to be able to create just every kind of storage that's possible in the world. So, I also would suggest that the increase in retaining wall height, I'm assuming that the combination of retaining and screen walls being more than 9 feet in that conversation wouldn't necessarily require them to be tiered. By code it normally would, but I'm not entirely sure because there isn't a waiver for that.
I don't think it would on the outside.
So if we wanted any combination over 9 feet to be landscaped to terrace, we'd have to add that as a condition if we desired that?
Well, I think you would want to specify which sides as well with what it's against. If you're talking about the arable frontage, that might be doable, but I think the highest parts are going to be on the east side, which is up against other development.
Unless I misread it.
It's right here is where, so it's going to go, it's going to vary from 3 to 4 feet in this area. So it's just in this section.
Okay, so it's not, when it's the southeast corner, it's not getting all the way down to Richmore.
It's stepping pretty much back behind the property line. Yeah, it's in it. So, and our screen wall is sitting right on top of the retaining wall. So that's why the screen wall is going to vary to make sure that we're not exceeding the 10 feet maximum.
Combination.
Correct.
Yeah, and Roxy, because it's an industrial property, they can go to 10 feet for the wall without having the terrace.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. The one thing that I see in the wall is that we've got a lot of high wall here, and even though it's decorative block, it looked kind of plain. You know, it may be, yeah, particularly along the public roads.
So.
I saw the picture online of the decorative, and it's better than the gray cement block.
Yeah, it doesn't show very well in the photo.
Yeah.
But so.
But
this right here.
Pull it down a little bit, and I'll zoom in.
Sorry.
See if that helps.
So, let's see if I can do it this way. That way, there we go. So this section here
is actually gonna be what runs along Arville. You're not gonna see that CMU block wall. Yeah, you're just gonna, that's the side you're gonna see. And then this here is what you're gonna see along Richmar. So it's really the north and the east sides of the property that are gonna have that.
So what am I gonna see from?
So it doesn't really show, there's gonna be some decorative split base in there and it'll have that.
That's what, the north and the east?
The north and the east.
Okay. So what's the west side look like?
So unfortunately, he didn't label it very well, so
okay.
I'm gonna apologize in advance. It's not well labeled, but this is what you will see from the west side of the property.
From Arville.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
And those, that's a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better than most things we see.
Yeah.
And I also like the design of the buildings. Too bad you're hiding part of them behind 10-foot wall.
Well, unless I'm misunderstanding, I think your plan may be mislabeled, but I think that if I'm standing center line of Arville looking to the east, then I'm seeing that view.
Correct.
Which is the west elevation of the building, which is why I say I think it's mislabeled.
He wanted to show the carports from inside the courtyard, so that's why he said if you're looking west inside from inside the courtyard, it's very misleading. Yes.
But east view is east view looking east, not east view of the building.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So the block wall is essentially a return on the north and south ends and then all along the eastern property line.
Correct.
Could you please show where was that courtyard area which the staff recommended not to use as storage?
It's realistically...
It's everything in the
center. Yeah, it's really the whole site. So, and like I said, part of the reason we have such a large courtyard is because Public Works has the distance that works required to meet the departure distance from the intersection of Arville and Richmar. So we had to push the gate further back on the site. But he wants the building here for better visibility because it's at the intersection rather than pushing the building up where it's going to be kind of in the center. So, even though the fleet vehicles would be underneath the carports, even that's considered part of the outdoor storage. So quite frankly, without outdoor storage, they cannot have any fleet vehicles on the site.
And Roxy can share the definition of both outside storage and display if that's causing some concern for you guys, and maybe clarify how high it can be stored inside. So like what is visible with beyond the walls.
Notes and it was just writing to ask about.
So outside storage areas not within an enclosed building dedicated to storing and or displaying goods, material, merchandise, vehicles, or equipment, which may also be included maintenance and repair of such items.
Nothing about the height?
For the wall? Well, that's for the
no, they have to be behind the wall, so it can't be visible.
It cannot be stacked.
So it can't exceed the exterior walls?
Correct.
That was the bullet point I was writing about at conditions. Thank you for the clarification. Okay, that answers most of my questions, because if the storage isn't going to exceed the wall height, it's not a monolithic CMU wall. Other than that, those... And it's the right use for the area that gets past just about everything I have, so.
Yeah, and I think it's a decent design.
I think people in the area will be very happy.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the bullet from the staff on number 7, to eliminate the storage, I think that should be deleted.
Yeah.
It's an industrial area, it makes sense. You know, give the folks use of their property. You got it?
Sure. I'll make the motion item number 6, VS250813, for approval per staff conditions.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion on item number 5, ZC250812, for approval per staff conditions.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion on item number 7, UC250814, for approval. Eliminate bullet point number 1, the comprehensive planning bullet point number 1 of the staff conditions per all other staff conditions.
For all other if approved?
If approved, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Do you want to say anything about eliminating display on the use permit?
I don't think so based on the definition that she read.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us down to general business, which we have none, and brings us down to the comments by general public. Period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board and its jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name, address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, it will be done by the chair or by the board majority vote. So are there any general public comments at this time? Hearing none, seeing none.
Mr. Chair, if I may, while we
yeah.
still have some public here, I just want to take this opportunity to thank our volunteer board members who show up here every 2 weeks and sit through these nights and are not paid to do so, but make very thoughtful decisions for the enterprise community. I want to thank the public that shows up to these meetings and participates as well, and wish everyone a happy new year.
Thank you. With that, I will close the public comments. Next regular meeting will be January 14th, 2026 at 6 p.m. in the Silverado Ranch Community Center. And I'll make a motion to adjourn at 6:57 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.